I'm really excited about this word that I'm bringing today. And the word is really, I'm going to tell you the topic from the beginning. The camels are coming.
The what?
The camels are coming.
All right.
Now, you there's no, yeah.
One hump or two?
Both. Both. But you'll see what I'm talking about in a moment, okay? And by the end of this teaching, you're going to give God a lot more praise than you just did a while ago. Because your understanding will increase. The camels are coming. Turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is by God's design. I was kind of stopped in my track last week. Not stopped in my... Well, this just came into my spirit, and it's been in my spirit the whole week. And, you know... I'm praying that you'll get something from this today. I trust that you will. And that, you know, what I have to bring to you today will be a source of encouragement. Because nothing goes past God. He sees and knows everything. Everything. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. But he also sees your commitment, your dedication, your continuity. And I just want to pause here to say thank you for being in the house of God. And thank you for what you do continuously. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your continuous commitment and service to this church. Because without you, there would be no church. All right, but God knows this, and God knows this from the very beginning. And I thank God for what is placed in your heart so that you are here week after week after week to receive what God is saying, and not just to receive, but also to give the very best to the God that you are serving. Because as you serve us, you are serving God. And God sees everything. And the God who sees is a God who also rewards. Now, Genesis chapter 24, I'm going to start at the end. Okay, then I'm going to take us back to the beginning. Okay, I'm going to start at the end. The end says this, I've got it on the screen. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63. And he looked up and saw the camels were coming. He looked up and saw the camels were coming. Now, I'll talk about who this was, and I'll talk about the context of the story in a moment, but I really want to start off by doing something a little bit different. I want to talk to you about numbers. Numbers are very important in the Word of God. And I'll give you a few examples. The number 5 is the number grace. The number 7 is the number of perfection. The number 8 is the number of completion. I believe the number 12, I haven't got it up there, but I believe that that is government, okay, and so on. We could go on, and we could go on, and we could go on. Now, what year are we in today? You don't sound certain. What year are we in today? 2023, all right? That 2023. Now, that is from our current calendar today, okay? The Gregorian calendar, I believe it's called. But the Hebrew calendar, okay, the Hebrew calendar today is actually the year 5783. And I looked at that when I came across this information. I looked at it and I looked a little deeper. Didn't find too much things, but I found some things here. I'm just going to sort of share with you what I've found. First of all, the number 3 is very important. The number 3 is, let me just give it to you on the next screen. You see that in 2023, and you see that also in the Hebrew year, which is this year, 5783. The number 3 in the Hebrew is the word gimel or gemel. Okay? And this is what it means. It means the giving of a reward. The giving of a reward. It also means camel. So, this is the year, I believe, where God is going to, let me just say, begin to reward his people. Begin to see an outpouring. Begin to see his miraculous works. Begin to see greater healings. Begin to see more prosperity in your lives. How many people know that God wants you to be prosperous?
Amen.
He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants you set free. He wants you blessed. That's the God that we serve. He loves you and wants you blessed. So don't take that year for granted, that number for granted. Don't take this year for granted. But as you look at 5783, this is the thought that came to me actually, and I didn't write it down anyway, so I'm going to... number five, we said what? Is a grace. Grace, what is grace? Grace is an empowerment. So this is what I got from this. I don't know if I'm going to say it right, because I didn't write it down anywhere. But God has empowered us to complete and perfect the reward that he is bringing to us. God has empowered and perfected and will complete, number eight, the reward, number three, that he is bringing to us. Now, in my heart of hearts, I believe that this year, 2023, 5783 in the Hebrew, that we're going to see more and more of God's blessing. Do you believe that, church?
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to take a look at that today. We're going to take a look at the camel, and what does that mean, and what is the significance of a camel. I'm going to say quite a lot. I've never taught on this before, but I'm going to say quite a lot about that today. Camels are symbols of humility. They are also symbols of willingness to serve. They are symbols of determination, perseverance, and endurance. And I just want to pause right here and say, folks, that the camels are coming. The camels are coming. And they're carrying stuff with them. I'm going to get into that. I don't want to jump ahead of myself. Let me stick with camels. Pastor Trevor just mentioned it a while ago. He said, one hump or two. Well, let's have a look at that, shall we? If you can. There are two different types of camels. There are camels with the two humps, and they're called Bactrian camels. And the one-humped camels are called domitries. Okay, but they're both camels, just two types. The camels with two humps, Bactrian, I'm repeating myself, the camels with one humps, dormitory camels. But they're all camels anyway. Now I'm going to talk about their humps in a moment. I won't go ahead too much ahead of myself. I'll mention that a little bit later about their humps. But I want to get into the core of this. And all I'm going to bring to you today, I'm going to bring to you three things about camels. Three things. And we're going to learn about that. And you're going to see the significance from the scripture that I just read from Genesis 24. Why I'm talking about this. And the significance of camels. There are animals that are hardly talked about, hardly mentioned. We know about them. We know what they look like. We know some have one arms. We know some have two. But we don't know much more about them. You're going to learn a lot more about these camels today. Number one. Camels carry. Come on, everybody say this with me. Camels carry.
Camels carry.
All right, say it a bit louder. Camels carry.
Camels carry.
Yeah, they carry. And I want us to remember that. Camels carry. What do they carry? Well, camels are used by kings and businessmen to move wealth from one location to the other. But camels are also used to move people, information, and resources through dry places. And that's where mostly you see camels. You don't see them in this part of the world. But go to Arabia, go to Africa, and countries in Africa, countries in Asia, you will see camels. Why? Because dry places exist, and camels were built to go through dry places without quitting. To go through dry places, no matter how hard it is. And what I want to do today, really, is to sort of bring us through, is two sides to this. I only want us to look at the camel and to compare ourselves to the camel, but also I want us to recognize and to know that the camels in the spiritual realm, they're carrying our blessing to us in the name of Jesus, and nothing can stop it. And you will see that from today's message, what I'm bringing to you. And we're going to learn a lot about camels, all right? But they're on their way in Jesus' name. My blessing is on the way in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Your blessing is on the way in Jesus' name. The wrong thing that you can do. Listen to me carefully, church. The worst thing that you can do right now is to have your eyes on circumstances. To have your eyes on the conditions that are around you. They may not look favorable. They may not look nice. They may not look inviting. But they are temporary. Do you hear me? I said they are temporary. They come and they go. But the blessing of the Lord that's coming is yours forever in Jesus' name. And your camels, your spiritual camels are carrying those blessings. So camels carry. Okay? They carry. Camels can carry as much as, listen to this, 900 pounds of weight for 25 miles without stopping. Now you think about that. Camels can carry as much as 900 pounds, each camel, for as long as 25 miles per day. And I got that information from spana.org. So it's not something I've just made up or just heard someone say. I love to check facts for myself and get facts for myself. So I go to the internet. I go to the source. I go to the root. All right? Camels can travel at speeds of up to 40 miles an hour. And if you think about that, you know the speed limit here is 20 miles an hour. Well, camels can go twice that speed. That's the speed of a racehorse, by the way. A galloping racehorse. Camels can travel as fast as that. And so nothing is, it's almost like these animals that look so simple, there's a lot more to them. Do you see that, church? Yeah. There's a lot more to them than what meets the eye. Okay? So camels carry. What else? Camels carry all sorts of different things. And, you know, if I should switch it for a moment, you know, God has said, can I just say this? A spiritual camel's on its way to you. Your health is on its way. Your healing is on its way. Wealth is on its way. Prosperity is on its way. Church, your change, whatever that might be, is on its way. And if we open God's word, we just see that quite clearly. But God wants his people to believe that he is a good God, that he has good things in his hand, that he is a God of a turnaround, that he is a God who can turn your mess into what? Into what? Into a mighty, wonderful message. Into beauty. Into loveliness. So no matter how bad it seems, God can turn it around. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God can turn it around. God can turn it. Tell him again. God can turn it around. He turned it around, man. He can. It doesn't matter how bad it seems. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. Don't pay too much attention, folks, to feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. Look to the word of God. Look to the God who loves you, created you, placed you on this world. And whatever it is that you are going through, I am telling you that God can turn it around. Your increase is on its way. So camels carry. Genesis 24, verse 10. Let's go to our text. In our text, in verse 1, the Bible starts off by saying that Abraham was old, okay, in age. And he called his servant and said to his servant, his only servant in his house that was in charge of everybody, and he said to his servants, I want you to get a wife for my son. That was the custom in those days. But I do not want you to get a wife from the Canaanites, for my son Isaac. I want you to get a wife from my family, my tribe, from where I come from. And so a conversation was had, and then we see in verse 10 that the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Now, let me just pause here a little bit and tell you that the number 10 is a number of divine order. So if we put that in context, this servant had an instruction from his master, okay, to where to go and get a wife for Isaac. Number 10 is a number of divine order. I've just said that. And we see some examples on the screen from the Bible. The Ten Commandments are in the Bible. 10 plagues that came from God to Egypt. The 10 generations between Adam and Noah. We see in the New Testament 10 virgins. And we also see in the book of Daniel that servants were tested, Daniel being one of them, at 10 days in Daniel chapter 1. And so we could go on just picking on number 10. 10 is a number of divine order. And God has divinely ordered things to happen in our lives, in our church, in our ministry, in your home, in your family, in your life. God has divinely ordered it. And the only people who can stop it, folks, guess what? It's not no devil or demon, it's you. That's the only people who can stop it. And the way that you stop it is by being disobedient. The way that you stop it is by not listening to godly counsel. The way that you stop it is doing things your own way, going off on a tangent, taking yourself out of God's will, out of God's purposes and alignment, and doing things your way. That's the only way we can stop it. If you remain then on the path that God has placed you on, doing His will and being where God called you to be and doing what He's called you to do, no matter how rough it seems, God is going to see you through. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So even if the shadow of death is near, and if the shadow of death is near, then death is very near. Because the shadow of the thing is always near the real thing. But if the psalmist said, "I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. And look, folks, I just want to remind you today, you have need to fear no evil because God is with you. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Principalities and powers and people that these principalities and powers use. So no matter how bad it seems, you still got God on your side. So that makes you a winner. Amen. Come on, say with me, I'm a winner. Amen. Say it again, I'm a winner. Amen. One more time, I'm a winner. Amen. You are a winner no matter what. And it's not me saying it, it's God saying it. God has designated you a winner in Jesus' name. So you can overcome. And you are an overcomer in the name of the Lord. So let's move on. God has divinely ordered good things to come to us. Power, posterity, partner, patience, peace, prosperity, perceptiveness, perseverance, pleasure, plentiful, promotion, purpose, progress, positivity. And God has also anointed and divinely ordered the prize that Paul said we should press toward, whatever that is. So whatever I've missed out, the prize, that's the prize. Okay? God has divinely ordered these things to come into your life. And that's, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, that's good news. And that's every reason to rejoice. From our text, we note that Rebecca did not go looking for the camels. The camels found Rebecca. This is in verse 63. And I'm coming to that in a moment, because they're still on camels carry. But note that, folks, Rebecca did not go looking for the camels. The camels found her. You don't need to go looking for your blessing. You don't need to pick up 3, 4, 5, 6 jobs out there to wear yourself out and to wear you so that you don't have any use to your family, any use to your time. God doesn't want you to function like that. We're going to function kingdom way. And our faith now has to come into being. And now we're going to believe in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever God has ordered to come into my life, guess what? It's going to find me in Jesus' name. Amen. That's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to be, church. But you're going to employ patience now. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to wait until this thing comes. I'm not going to hurry and try to make it happen like Abraham did with producing Ishmael. Did with Hagar producing Ishmael. We're not going to produce no Ishmaels in our lives. Rebecca was found, and she was found willing to serve. So when she was found eventually, and I know I'm sort of stepping ahead of myself is, I'm not really, but I just wanted to bring these points out here that about Rebecca, that she didn't go looking for the camels found her. And she was found, when the camels found her, she was found willing to serve. Now, if you read verse 19, you will see that a certain prayer was prayed before that, because Abraham's servant was talking to God and was saying, well, Lord, how am I going to find her? This is how, how will I know who it is that I'm supposed to find for Isaac to be a wife? How will I know? And this was the measure that when she was found, the woman that was found will come and will not just feed him or give him water, but would also feed his camels. And that's exactly what happened. He came and he saw Rebecca coming, and he said to her, please give me something to drink. Now, she could have had an attitude and said, go draw water yourself. She said, you're a stranger, I don't know you, I'm a woman, how do I know what you have up to? She didn't do anything like that. She was humble. She was meek. She was willing. And she came to him and said, not only will I give you to drink, she drew and gave him water to drink, but she said, I'm going to draw water for your camels. He didn't ask her to do that. He prayed that that would happen. And that's exactly what happened. Isn't it beautiful that there's power in prayer? You're seeing that already, but you're going to see more in your lives. There's power in prayer. She prayed, but she was, the point I'm making here, that she was willing to serve. She didn't have an attitude about it. She was really willing to serve. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, guess what? You're going to eat of the good of land. The Old King James says, of the fat of the land. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. This is what the Word of God says. Through love, do what? Serve one another. And that's exactly what Rebecca was doing when the servant came to her. So camels carry. That's the first point. Number two, camels don't just carry, but guess what? Camels contend. Camels contend. Say with me, camels contend. Say it again. Camels contend. They contend. What do they contend with? Well, camels are tenacious animals. They know how to push. They have the ability to keep going. Their resistance against adverse conditions are high. And this is where I want us to learn now from the camels. Yeah, the camels are carrying our blessings, but you know what? We can learn lessons from camels. Because we need to be tenacious. We need to know how to push. We need to have, we've got it, but we need to use that ability that we've got to keep on going. Even though the conditions may be harsh, may be hard, to know how to push past that, to know how to use the resistance level that God has given you, okay, in these adverse conditions that we're facing, to push through them. Their stamina is great. They have the will to keep going despite the heat. Because you and I know that that part of the world is very hot. Very hot. And no matter what the heat is, they know how to contend. So the question is really, how do camels contend? How do they contend? Well, they contend, number one. I'm going to give you several things. I didn't give you everything I know about them, but I just put some things up there. Camels have the ability to close their nostrils during sandstorms so they are not hindered by the sand. During sandstorms, or during storms rather, sorry, we don't go through sandstorms here, but we do go through storms. Am I right?
Yeah.
So during the storms, we are to breathe in the breath of life. Because God knows that that will sustain us. So he has given us the ability to shut out, if you like, those things that will come to suffocate us, to bring us down, to bring us to nothing. So they have the ability to close their nostrils. But not just that. They have three sets of eyelids and two rows of extremely long eyelashes, which provide protection from the blowing sand and also the blazing sun. Camels know how to contend. They are built to contend. We are built to see Christ in every storm, not just the storm. And this is what Peter did when he saw the storm, but he also saw Christ in the midst of the storm. He stepped out of the boat after Jesus said to him, "Come." And the Bible says that he began to do the miraculous, even though the storm was still brewing, even though the storm was still there. And folks, even though God is calling some of you here to step out and to do more for Christ, do more for his kingdom. Don't become complacent. Don't become idle. Don't let the storm stop you in your track. But irrespective of the storm, draw strength from him and keep on moving. Are you with me, church? And that's what we've got to learn to do, because we are also built to withstand the storm. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So the question is, what are you seeing? And where is your focus? Is it blurred? Or am I seeing right? Or is my eye, once again, just on the storm? Am I seeing the Christ in the storm or just the storm? Fundamental question. Camels also have thick lips. And the thick lips enable them to eat thorns and thistles, which other animals can't. What will kill other animals is fuel for the camel. During storms, the world feeds out there. They feed on logic. They feed on what they feel. And they talk a lot about what they feel and what they think. And that's how they feed themselves. But we're different. We're called out. We're called to be different. God's people just doesn't feed on what's logical. But we feed on other things as well. What is spiritual. We feed on God's word and what comes supernaturally. Can I get an amen? Amen. Of course we eat food, natural food. We need that. Our physical body needs it. But that is not enough. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Are you here? We've got to have thick lips, and we've got to know that our spiritual food is what is really keeping us and sustaining us, not just the natural food that is within. Camels know how to contend. Camels have two toes on each foot. And when they step into the sand to prevent them sinking down, those two toes spread out so that the weight of the camel is able to stand on the surface of the sand, and then they can go one foot moving before the other, and they can make progress in their journey and not just sink down in sand. Now, when we talk about sinking in sand, we know what that's like. Having gone to Wales for a few years with the kids way back, we've been in sand that was so soft it was sinking. And, you know, we had to sort of move out of that part of the sand in the water onto harder sand. So some of us will know what it's like. You go to the beach and you go at a particular place or a particular point, you could find yourself sinking down. But camels are built to overcome that difficulty in their journey that they're making. Listen, when the pressure gets hot in your walk with God and you feel like quitting because you can't take the hit, look to the Son of God. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23 that the steps of a righteous man, a righteous woman, are ordered by the Lord. Isn't it good news, church? Amen. That your steps are ordered by the Lord. So in Jesus' name, you will not sink. Yeah. Do me a favor. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, in Jesus' name, you will not sink. Yeah. No, you won't. You won't. You won't sink. The pressure might be there. The heat may be there. The sand may be soft. But you won't sink. You are built to complete your journey in Jesus' name. And you will. You will. Can I tell you something else that I've not got up there? Camels have two sets of knees on each foot. Most animals have one knee. Now, there are quite a few animals. I love nature. I love looking at these things. And while I was looking this up, I found out that even spiders have, never mind, on each leg they've got four knees. So 8 times 4 is what? At least 32 knees they have. But camels have 2 sets of knees on each foot. And those knees enable them to bend down, to go right down, and to pick up their load and to get up without any problem whatsoever. They're tall animals, and they're built differently. But they're also built to contend with what they need to do. Because camels know that they need to do journeys. They know they need to carry things. But they also know they need to contend, these animals. They need to contend with the adverse conditions that are around them. And so they're built in that way to manage and to sustain. They're built for success. Did you know that you're built for success? Amen. Did you know that the Bible says that you are wonderfully and fearfully made?
Yeah.
And whatever God says about you, guess what? That's truth. It's not just a fact. It's truth. And that's why 1 Corinthians, I love this, 10 and verse 13 says, there is no temptation but such as is common to man. But God, with that temptation, that trouble, that trial that you're facing, those adverse conditions that you are facing, those conditions that say you can't make it, the Bible says that God will, with that trouble, that temptation, that trial, make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear it. Bear it. So you're going through rough times, you're built to overcome just like the camel. You're built for success just like the camel. You're built to carry stuff, good stuff, because you've got good stuff inside of you too. But you're built to push past everything that is around you. And that's why the Bible tells us, Paul says it so many times in his letters, that we are more than conquerors. Thank God, he says in another chapter, in another verse, through Christ we have victory and we have triumph. And I could tell you loads of scriptures, but you know some already. Look, Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? You think you're going through rough times? You feel you're going through rough times? What are you doing? Lift up your eyes unto the hills. That's where your help comes from. It comes from God. Come on, everybody, say, God is my source.
God is my source.
He is your source, man. And He wants you to make him your source. In every single time. Not just when things are going bad. Make him your source when things are going right. The psalmist again said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. All times means in the bad times, in the bad times, I'm going to praise him. The conditions may not be favorable, but I'm going to praise him. The conditions may be rough, but I'm going to bless his name. I'm going to lift him up, as well as in the good times. My help comes on the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Camels contend. Camels can go up to 15 days without drinking water. 15 days. They can also drink up to, listen to this, 40 gallons at one sitting. You and I can't even drink 1 gallon at one sitting, let alone 40 gallons. Camels can drink at one sitting. They can drink 40 gallons of water. Now let me ask you this. Where do you think the water is stored? Anybody else? It's not the hump, you know. No. Shirley, you're laughing. Shirley, you never see a thing. But it's not in the hump, no. You know what's stored in the hump? Fat. In dromedaries, as well as Bactrian camels, they store fat in the hump. What is fat? Fat is food for energy. That's what sustains them, because on their journey, not only can they not find water, but they could sometimes not have food as well. So when they don't have food, they draw from the resources that they have inside of them. Okay, from the fat, and that produces, that fat is converted into energy to enable them to complete their journey. The water, and I love this, The water is actually stored in the camel's blood. It's stored in their blood. Camels, this is something beautiful about that. Come on, somebody say the blood. No. Come on, church, are you alive? Say the blood.
Blood.
The blood, man. There's something about the blood, but now I'm talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something about the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something about blood, you know, because Hebrews 9:22, God's law says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And the shedding of animals' blood was only a temporary thing until Jesus Christ came. Then the permanent thing, Christ died once and for all. He only needed to die once, but that blood still avails today. And the Bible says that the blood is alive. And so without blood, the camels wouldn't live. But water is stored right there in the camel's blood. So I've put this on the screen, actually. Let me just... There's so much I could say about this, I've kind of lost with it. Yeah. A camel just doesn't drink from the river, it carries the river in it. That thought came to me, I said, let me just put that up there. It just doesn't drink from the river, it carries the river. Do you know that you're carrying a river inside of you? Hey, church, I said, do you know you're carrying a river inside of you? And that river is flowing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And it's going to flow more. Can I get an amen?
Yes.
And you're going to see greater things. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You're going to see it. 1,000 cubits, then 2,000, then 3,000, then 4,000. And every time it gets more, every time it gets more, and every time it gets more, it gets deeper until waters that we could no longer walk in, you have to swim. And that's how the anointing is, church. It starts off on a low level, and then God builds. But you gotta, that's why you've got to have continuity in your life and discipline. You hear me talk about discipline? You see, without discipline, you just stay home on a Sunday morning. You just ignore the prayer meetings. Other things come and take priority because there's no discipline. Or, let me not say that. You've got to have disciplines into place. You're going to say, no, Lord, it's about you. I love you and I'm serving you. Lord, this is what you require. I'm not going to give you any substitute. I'm going to give you me, Lord. And I'm going to give you everything that I have. Because I love you, Lord. And I'm carrying, Lord. You have invested in me greatness, Lord. And I'm carrying greatness inside of me. And that greatness, church, listen, is going to be released from your life. And you're going to touch others. And revival and healing and blessing will come. Now look, you may look in your life and may say, who, me? No, look at me. I look how I feel. Look what I'm going through. I don't feel like I'm at that place. We do not go by feelings. But we go by faith. We go by what God's word says. And if God says that you are great, if God says that I love you and I'm going to use you, if God says I'm going to bless you and increase you, then God is going to do it. All we got to do is cooperate with him. In Jesus' name. And I hope you're getting this. You're carrying greatness inside of you, man. You're carrying more than you think. You're there looking at your circumstances and looking at your problems and talking up. You talk about your problems more than you talk about the blessing of God. You're in the wrong mode, you see. And what you're doing is you're squashing the power that's inside. The flow. You're blocking that flow that God wants to release. And it's time to reverse it in Jesus' name. It's time that it be reversed in Jesus' name. John 7:38, he that believes in me, as the scripture has said. Look at what it says. Out of what? As a matter of fact, church, can we read this together? Ready? Read. He that believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living. Out of whose belly? You and I. You and I. Not God's belly, no. You and I. He that believes in me, Jesus, as the scripture says, out of your belly, your and his, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Rivers, not trickles, not drips, not streams, rivers of living water. I'm telling you that you've got more inside you than you think. And it's time you make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to unleash what's inside of me. I'm going to serve God with everything that is inside of me. I'm not going to look at the circumstances anymore. I'm not going to look at the adverse conditions anymore. But I'm going to release what is inside of me, because like the camel, I am carrying greatness. Number three, camels complete. So number one was what? Camels carry. Number two was? Camels contend. And number three, camels complete. What do they complete? What do I mean by that? Well, camels do not quit. Camels don't quit. The going gets rough, the rough keep going. They don't quit. Camels finish the journey. Camels, obviously, they have a lifespan, and I can't remember what the lifespan is. I did come across it, I didn't know it, it doesn't really matter. They do die. Everything naturally dies, okay? But you hardly see the carcass of a camel. I didn't say you don't see it. I said you hardly see the carcass of a camel in a desert. A camel that dropped down dead and died in the desert because it didn't complete its journey. You hardly see that. People in that kind of world hardly see that, because they're built to finish the journey. They complete what they've started to do. Camels complete their mission. They fulfill their purpose. You hear me talking about purpose a lot over the weeks. And we've got to be a people who find and complete our purpose. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church. There's greatness locked up inside of you, and the journey that you're on, but at the grace of God, you will complete it in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You will complete it in the name of the Lord. Don't be thrown off course. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult. And that's why, you know, in God, in his wisdom, formed church. God, the idea of church came from God. Mm-hmm. Not Jesus, God. Mm-hmm. God created church, called his son, and said, I'm making you the head of the church. And then Jesus went on and he said, I will build my church. And the sentence didn't finish there, did it? What did he say? And the gates of hell. The gates of hell, you know. Everything that opens up and comes against you will not prevail against it. This is Jesus declaring over his church that God formed and put together. So whether you like it or not, we need one another. And I'm going to come to this business about isolation in a minute, because there are some Christians that think it's okay to isolate yourself. And we're going to find, we're going to look at, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but I'm coming there in a moment now. As a matter of fact, I'm coming there very, very soon. Because when the servant, you know, let me say, come. Genesis 24. Let's read from verse 62 to 64. I don't want to jump ahead of myself, so let's just read that. I'm going to read it out loud. Genesis 24 from verse 62, and it says this. Now Isaac came, and listen to this, this is very important. Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehai Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes. When she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. So get the picture now. They were ending their completion. The servant was coming back home with the prize. He was coming back home with the gift. He was coming back home with the reward, if you like, for Isaac. Well, a wife for Isaac. He was coming home. And before he reached home Where was Isaac? The Bible says he was in the field. Let me read it again. Verse 62. Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehi Roi. And verse 63, he went out to meditate in the field in the evening. Okay? So Isaac was there by himself. He was in the field and he separated himself to meditate. He did not isolate himself because, oh God, woe is me, I haven't got a wife and I haven't got a problem. Look at this, what am I going to do? He was not, that was not it. He separated himself and the Bible says that he was meditating. Just like how Jesus separated himself to pray. Just like how we should also separate, and we do separate ourselves to pray. But he did not, I want to make that distinction, he did not isolate himself, but he separated himself. He was alone by himself, but he didn't, it wasn't on a negative perspective. Okay? And where he was there, alone, meditating in the field, the Bible says that he lifted his eyes and looked. And what did he see? The answer of his prayers coming. The blessing coming. And isn't that going to be, it's going to be like that for some of us. We're there and we're separating ourselves and we're praying or we're serving God or wherever we're doing. We're in the field maybe, we're working. And as we're looking, while you're doing whatever you're doing, bam, the blessing suddenly changed. The blessing turns up. Are you hearing me, church? God can move like that, suddenly. Come on, church, say with me, suddenly God will. Say, suddenly God will. Bring about my blessing. And that's the way he works. He will suddenly do it at a time when you're not even expecting it. Isaac wasn't expecting. He didn't know when he was going to come back. He didn't know. He was hoping and maybe praying and believing that whatever it is that was promised will come. But he didn't know for sure. But he was there in the field. What was he doing? Having a pity party? No. He was there meditating. And I believe he was meditating on the word of God. I believe he was thinking on good things. I believe he was meditating and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will have a good wife in the name of the Lord. The Lord will give me what is due to me in Jesus' name. He was just there meditating on God. And then suddenly he lifted his eyes and looked. And there was Rebekah. And what did she do when the Bible says she lifted her eyes and looked? So they both lifted their eyes. They both saw one another. And the Bible, I love this part. The Bible says that Rebekah dismounted from the camel. Just like how your blessing is going to dismount and come right into your life. It's going to dismount and come right into your life in the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, you've got to believe it. And if you're going to be around the right people that will encourage you and open your eyes and cause you to see what God sees. Because if you surround yourself with the wrong people, negative people, pessimistic people, people who you see and then you don't see and then you don't see, people with no stability in their lives, you're surrounding yourself with the wrong kind. I don't know about you, but I know the blessing is coming. My blessing is on its way in Jesus' name. It's on its way and it's going to dismount in my life in the name of Jesus. But let me show you something else. The Bible says that Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehi Roi. Do you remember me talking about this? Do you remember the story about this? Beer Lehi Roi was the place where Hagar had a conversation with God himself. Remember now that name means, have I been talking with the God who sees, have I seen the God who sees me? This was Hagar. Hagar named that place because she had a conversation with God. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. And that's where he was coming from. In that direction, that place from the south. I said this already, Isaac was alone, but he was not isolated. He was in the field meditating. I forgot I had the screen up there. He lifted up his eyes and saw the camels coming. Rebekah lifted her eyes and dismounted when she saw Isaac. And the name Rebekah, it means tied to. Tied to. And folks, your blessing is tied to you. Hey, did you hear me? I said your blessing is tied to you. When something is tied to something, guess what? It's fixed. It's fixed to them. And the only way that it can become unfixed is if you lose it. And you know, I believe that Rebecca was tied to Isaac before they even met one another. They were tied together. Why? Because God had divinely ordered it to be so. God has divinely ordered blessings to come into your life. And you are tied to your future, and your future is a good one. You're tied to blessings, you're tied to healing, you're tied to increase in Jesus' name. And don't lose it. That's all I'm going to say to you today. Don't lose that blessing. Remain tied to it in the name of the Lord. So Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 6. This is what it says. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. Dromedaries of Midian. Look at that. And Ephah and all those from Sheba shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say here. Let me say it, and then I'll say something else. I've underlined the words Midian, Ephah, and also Sheba. Now, let's look at this verse. It says, the multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian. You know what Midian means? Midian means strife. Going somewhere with this. Ephah means gloom. Sheba, what does that mean? Promise. Strife, gloom. But look at the end. Promise. What am I saying here? The camels shall cover your lands of the Midian. So what I'm saying is, we said it already, camels carry. They're carrying your blessing. And they're contending with a lot of things. But they complete. I'm saying to you that God has set in motion your blessing that is being carried to you. It's on its way to you. Your marriage restoration is on its way to you. Your relationship that's been broken down with your work colleagues, your boss, is on its way to you. Family members that have not been speaking to you, your restoration is on its way. Change is on its way. And strife might be in the midst, but the camels are going to push past that. You listening to me? Yes. Gloom may be in the atmosphere, but the camels are going to push past that, church.
Amen.
Right? And your promise, Sheba, is on its way. Your promise is on its way. In my research, I was looking up some things, and Sheba caught my eye. And I did a little bit of research. And we all know about the Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba was a powerful woman, by the way. A powerful, powerful woman who had not just control of her country, I believe it was Egypt at the time, but she had the countries that were surrounding her, they brought her gifts. Just like how Solomon, in his reign, people brought him gifts. Well, Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. You know this, I know this, it's in the Bible. She heard about Solomon. And she said, no, I'm hearing so much great things, not just about the wealth, not just about the prosperity, not just about your power, but also of your wisdom. And she heard so much that, guess what? She said, I've got to go and see for myself. So you and I know from the Bible that the Queen of Sheba went to see Solomon. But what's not in the Bible, what I've read outside of the Bible, is that the leader of the Queen of Sheba's train, that's a train of camels that she had. There's one report that said she had about 797 camels. And if you think that one camel can carry 900 pounds, how much was she carrying? And why would she carry 797 camels to Solomon? But the Bible tells us, your Bible tells us that, I think it's 4.25, 4.25 or 4.5 tons of gold alone that she brought to Solomon. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. She brought 4.5 tons of gold, how, on camels, to Solomon and gave it to him. But listen to this. The Bible tells us that Solomon gave her more than she gave him on her return back to her land. So she thought she brought a lot, but she brought back so much more. Listen, God has a lot and has given us a lot. Now, no matter how much you give to God, God has more to give back to you.
Amen.
And it's coming back to you in Jesus' name. The turnaround, the change is coming back in your life in Jesus' name. I'm coming to a close. But I just wanted to share this. This next verse, and please pardon me. I don't know who this is for, but this is for someone. Isaiah 61 and verse 7. I've put that up there, and it's like I've heard the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit that this may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. I don't know who you are, but take note of it. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. I don't know who that is for, but I'm telling you that God is about to remove somebody's shame, somebody's embarrassment, and God is going to give you double honor. Man, you should be jumping up and rejoicing and saying, praise God, thank God, Lord, I receive it. Even though it may not be for me, I receive it in Jesus' name. Don't we serve a good God?
Amen.
Instead of shame. That's what people want to bring. Shame. Shame on you. I'm going to teach on this one day. This subject, I've never taught on this subject. I'm going to teach on it one day, because there's a lot that can be said around this subject. And sometimes shame can be used to put people down. And if you're not careful, you'll suck to them and you'll find yourself embarrassed or ashamed to even go to church. Embarrassed or ashamed because of what's happened to you, because the thing that's happened to you, it was bad, and it was bad, but in God's eyes, God don't look at you and say, shame on you. He looks at you and he says, my son, my daughter, I want to embrace you. I love you with everlasting love. And don't you know that there's nothing that you do that surprises me anyway? You know what God is looking for? Humility. Humbleness. And when we humble ourselves and come before him and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. And I want, Lord God, to complete what I have started, what you've started to do in my life, Lord, I want it to be complete in Jesus' name. And nothing will stop that. When you say it and you mean it, and then you get up and you say, right, in the name of the Lord, I recognize, please, never forget that the warfare that you are in is a spiritual one.
Yes.
You've got to fight back spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're not careful, you get right into the flesh, and now you begin to fight a different way, a way that God does not want you to embrace. It's a spiritual one, church. And so therefore, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Paul said, but what? Spiritual. Mighty in God for doing what, church? Thank you. For pulling down strongholds. What are strongholds? Anything that holds you strongly. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything holding you strongly? Unforgiveness? Is that holding you strongly? Last week I spoke about emotional hurt and damage that can sometimes happen in our lives. All of us, myself included. But God, who sees and knows everything, stands with open arms and says, my son, my daughter, I really want to give you my best. And irrespective of what's coming against you, irrespective of the storm and everything that's there, I have the best in line for you. And I'm closing. I'm just going to read this scripture in my closing. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read from verse 10 and then I'm finished. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. That word accomplish means complete. just like the camel. It shall complete what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Therefore, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen to you. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. God has given you the ability, folks, to complete your journey. And God has laid up things in store for you to bring you into the land, whatever that might be. Don't let anything stop you in Jesus' name. Don't let nothing stop you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Is there somebody here who said, Pastor David, you know, I really, really need God's help here. And I feel like I'm stuck in a rut. I feel like I'm one foot in, one foot out. I feel like I'm here and then I'm there. I feel all over the place. And I'm really, deep down inside, I'm hurting. Deep down inside, I know that I need more than what I have. Or maybe, you know, you find yourself in a place where, you know, you've been trying in the arm of the flesh, and you're finding that it doesn't work. The Bible talks about us being in partnership with Jesus Christ. We're workers together with him. The Holy Spirit has been given. You can't do things by yourself. God doesn't want you to. He doesn't expect you to. But is there anyone here who says, Pastor David, you really need to pray for me, because I find myself in that position, and I find myself somewhere where I know I ought not to be. I hear what you're saying today. I know my blessing is coming. And I see now how the enemy is just trying to keep me away from the purposes of God. Please pray for me. Slip your hand up and slip it down. Thank you. Slip it right back down. Put it right back down. Anybody else here need to say, Pastor David, pray for me in your closing prayer, because I really need God's help in my life. Last call. Just raise it. Thank you. Thank you. Can we all stand? Come on. Can we stand? Let's stand. Remain standing. I am going to ask those who raise their hands to come forward, please. I was going to go a different way, but I just feel I shouldn't. Those of you who raise your hands, just come forward. And by the way, there's no shame in coming forward. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. We're brothers and sisters here. And we're here to support one another. We just want to pray for you this morning. And I want to pray for the wider church as well, because your camels are on the way. And it's time for you to be excited. But God help us, man. There needs to be a higher level of excitement in our spirit. You know, if our eyes are open and we truly see what God is doing, then our eyes must be open and our hearts have got to be such that we turn and that we rejoice. Mm-hmm. All those who raise their hands, please come forward. If you didn't raise your hand and you know you need to come forward, come forward. All I'm going to do is pray, that's all. That's all. Stretch your hands toward these.
Everything.
Yes.
Your heart. What's in there? And he knows what's in there. Okay? And I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter how you're feeling, that your end is a good one in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
That God wants to bring about change into your heart, into your life. There's no mountain too big. Nothing at all. And God loves you. What's your name?
Hilda.
Hilda. God loves you, Hilda. And I just feel I need to say that to you. God really loves you. He does love you. And he cares for you. And is concerned for you. As he is with you, Simon. As he is with you, Leo. Okay? And so, folks, just stretch your hand toward him. And can you pray? Can you just pray? Pray for these precious souls. Thank you for coming forward. And thank you for your honesty and your openness. And Father, I just lift up these beautiful women before you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that no matter what it is that we are going through, Lord God, that you see and you know everything, Lord. And Father, I know, Lord God, that you have a plan, Lord God. That's what your Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. A plan to see us prosper and not come to any harm. And we know, Lord, we've spoken about it today, that on this journey there are storms. That there are adverse conditions, Lord. That sometimes batter us and bruise us, oh God, from left to right. But Lord, I just lift them up before you right now. And I pray that your hand will just be around them, that you'll cover them, that you'll sustain them, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll be a source of comfort, Lord God, to your daughters, Lord. To Leon, Father, just touch her, Father, in the name of the Lord. And bless her and fill her, Father, with your goodness and your promises. Let her eyes be opened, Father, to you and your promises, Lord. And let her know, Father, that what you have promised, Lord God, you are able to complete. Father, for everything concerning Simone, Lord, as well. You see and you know, Lord God, even those things that may be intimate, may be private, Lord, the difficulties and the struggles, Lord, there are emotions at times, Lord. You see and you know everything about us, Lord. And we know this from last week's teaching, Lord. Our emotions are a God-given part of us, Lord. So we just want to thank you, Lord, for the way that you care about us, Lord. Thank you that your hand is not shortened, that it cannot reach. And that, oh God, you will just reach down and comfort your daughter right now in Jesus' name. That, Lord God, hope will be there, Lord God, for your beautiful daughter who's come forward, Lord. That, Father, no matter what is going on, and no matter what the battles, no matter what the struggles, Lord God, and the heartaches, Lord Jesus, that, Father, the fact that, oh God, your love is there. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, somehow you'll just relate this to her, Lord. And let her know with an unconditional condition, Father, that your love is there forever, oh God. And that you are able to do, Father, what seems impossible in our eyes. So, Lord, I pray that you'll just, the peace of God that surpasses her understanding will be her portion. That you'll strengthen her, encourage her, Lord God. And that, Father, you will just build her in the name of Jesus. And, oh God, release her, Father, from this place, Lord God, with renewed vision, renewed strength, Lord God. And all three, with a commitment, Father, to raise up and to go, Father, places that they've never been to before. And, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, that the camels are coming, Lord. They are coming in Jesus' name. The camels, Lord God, are carrying our blessing, Lord. And they're coming, Father. And they will dismount, O God, in our sight. And, Father, we will walk into what you have provided for us. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it from now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for this congregation as well, Lord. That, Father, our praise will grow. And that, Father, our exaltations will grow. And our expectation, Father, from you will increase in Jesus' name. That, oh God, with our eyes closed, Lord, that they spiritually will be open to see the blessing, oh God. To see, Father, what you have promised, Lord. Because he who has promised is faithful to complete it, Lord. And I pray that you'll bring it about, Lord God, into our midst, oh God, in Jesus' name. And, Father, we will believe, we will look. And Lord, like the camel, we will contend, Father, and we will hold on with bulldog tenacity to your promise, Lord. And we will confess with our mouths, Lord God, the end result. It is well in Jesus' name, in my life, in my marriage, in my relationships, in my church, in my home, with my children, Lord God. It is well with my work, with my business. It is well with every aspect of my life and being. It is well in Jesus' name, Father, because you have set things in motion, Lord. And here we are. We are saying, yes, Lord, we will cooperate with you. We will go where you want us to go. We will do what you want us to do. So build us, oh God, and release, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the power and everything, oh God, that we need to be the people who you have called us to be. We will fulfill our purpose, Lord. We will bless you, God. We will release, Lord Jesus, every weight that is carried. And we will take on, Father, the praises of God, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we bless you today. And we thank you, Lord, that the camels are coming in Jesus' name. Can we put our hands together? Come on, church. Can we praise him together?